Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. We'll read this as we prepare for the worship service. Beginning with verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into that rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is written, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. He cried on the cross, it's finished. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Okay, if you would turn in your bulletin to the call to worship, and we'll stand as we sing.
Sing a song of songs, the glory which to Christ belongs. The host of heaven began thus praying, worthy the Lamb, for he was slain to redeem us by his blood, and makes us kings and priests to God, to cleanse from every sin, most fame worthy the Lamb, for he was slain. Among a thousand hearts and songs, his sacred name fills all our tongues. All power in heaven and earth proclaim worthy the Lamb, for he was slain.
Okay, if you would, now turn in your hymnal to song number 118, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did fair such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Open our Bibles to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We'll begin in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All right. Brother Wayne's going to lead us in prayer.
Bow together in prayer, please. Our great God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing each one of us here this morning, a place where we can know that the gospel will be preached, these faithful men you provided. Pray that you be with Eric as he comes to stand before us and open the word to us. Cause him to have clear recall of the studies he's prepared. Cause us as we sit and listen to hear the message, to be blessed by it, and to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for his atoning work, the blood that was shed to atone for sin for us. The work that he did that we cannot do ourselves. Cause us each day to be thankful for the precious gift of your Son, the blood that was spilled to atone for sin. Cause us to wake knowing that our only hope is Christ, and to lay down at night to know that he's our only hope. Thankful for him. Pray for those that are going through difficult times and troubles and trials. Help them, and through these times, comfort them with your grace. Pray for safe return from Frank and Janet and this trip they're on. Bring them back to us safely. As we leave here, go out into the world, we pray for your hand and direction in our lives each day. Give us wisdom and decisions we need to make. Cause us to walk in a way that's pleasing in your sight. Give us patience and to know that all things that happen, the trials you send our way, the good days, the challenging days, are from your hand, and they serve a purpose. Give us comfort in that. Let us have patience in all things. Again, we pray for another time of true worship here. Let the name and work of our Lord Jesus Christ be exalted from this place. Things we ask and pray in his name. Amen.
Justified, oh blessed thought, and say sanctified, salvation wrought, thy blood hath poured above for me, and glorified I too shall be, complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied, since thou my portion, Lord, will be. I ask no more, complete in thee, yet justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought, thy blood hath poured and bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand, complete in thee, yet justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought, thy blood hath poured and bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5, we'll look at verse 21. Before I begin, my desire this morning is twofold. One, I pray the Lord would enable me to preach the gospel by the power of His Spirit to preach the gospel to you. And second, that He would enable us, me and you alike, to hear that gospel. To hear that gospel. A couple weeks ago, just a little over 2 weeks ago, I attended a funeral for a young girl. She's barely 20 years old. And it occurred to me, I don't know if I'd ever really thought about this before. I'd like to think that I had, but I don't know that I had. What if this was the last time, as we've gathered here this morning, what if this was the last time, what if this was the last opportunity we had to hear the gospel preached? Would I pay a little closer attention? Would I be a little more attentive to what was being said? Would I listen closely to the word that's being preached? Or would I be like Felix of old? Remember that when Paul preached to him over in Acts? Said Paul reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled. He didn't tremble for very long, did he? He said this. He said to God's minister, he said, go thy way for this time. And when I have a time more convenient, I'll call again for you. That time may never come. Another thought occurred to me. What if this was the last time I was enabled by God's grace to preach His gospel? Could I say as Paul did to the elders at Ephesus? He said, I take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Serious matter, isn't it? This thing of preaching the gospel, this thing of hearing the gospel. We've been blessed for so long, for such a long time to have a place to come and hear the gospel preached. I fear sometimes we take it for granted, don't we? I certainly speak of myself. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful in preaching as we are every time we stand in this place. Truly, who is sufficient to declare the truth of God's word? I want to be faithful this morning to declare the gospel to you. The gospel of God's sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't think of a clearer passage of Scripture than 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's on the front of our bulletin. We have a chance to read that every time we pick up a bulletin. Do you have 2 Corinthians 5:21? Here we have the gospel in one verse of Scripture. Follow along with me in your Bible. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's look at this passage of Scripture together just for a few minutes here this morning. I'm guessing some of you, if not all of you, have heard of the five W's. I can remember being taught this in early on in school. And it's five questions that we use to gather information about something. Okay? Here they are, if you've not heard of them before. Who? We ask the question, who? We ask the question, what? We ask the question, where? We ask the question, when? And we ask the question, why? The five W's. So I want us to look at this passage of Scripture with these five questions in mind. And the first one is who? Who is mentioned in this one verse of Scripture? There are three people. Okay? Are you still looking at verse 21? The first one is he. He. Who is he? Who is this he spoken of in Scripture? It's God Almighty. God Almighty. Isn't it appropriate that we start with Him? All things begin with God. Go back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God Almighty. The true and living God. The Holy God. The Holy God. He that sits upon His throne of holiness. God, who back in the book of Exodus, He appeared unto Moses in that burning bush. And He told Moses, He said, put your shoes off your feet. For you're standing on holy ground. And Moses, we read, hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. That same God who spoke to Moses, and he said this. He said, I've seen the affliction of my people. He said, I've heard, this is Almighty God speaking. I've seen the affliction of my people. Why would he even take notice of us? Because we're his people. He said, I've heard their cry. He hears the cries of his people. He said, I know their sorrow. And I have come to deliver them and bring them up out of the land and bring them unto a land flowing with milk and honey. If we're going to know anything about the gospel, we must be taught who he is. God is absolutely holy. Habakkuk said, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. And listen, the God of the Bible is holy. He is sovereign. He is absolutely sovereign in all things. Absolute power. Absolute authority. He's not controlled by man's will. He's not dependent upon man to make a decision. He's not controlled by fate. He's not controlled by anything. He's God. He orders and directs all things. Psalm 50 verse 21 says this, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. Nebuchadnezzar said this. He said, I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And listen, all, every last one of them, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, this same he that we read about in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He, Almighty God, he, the holy God, sovereign in all things. His sovereignty is not limited. His sovereignty is in all things. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence. He's sovereign in salvation. He's the God of eternal predestination. In Ephesians 1 verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the pleasure of his will. He chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ out of Adam's sinful fallen race. He predestinated us. He determined, listen, to make us like his son. And as such, we are accepted in him. We're accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He. Do you still have 2 Corinthians 5:21? Still looking at the question? Who? He. Almighty God hath made him. Him. Made him who knew no sin. Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is one with the Father. He's one with the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. Him who is God. Jesus Christ is God. In John 10:32, he asked that group of Jews, he said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those good works do you stone me? And those Jews, they answered, they said, for a good work we stone you not. That's not why we stone you. But for blasphemy. Because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's very God of very God. Yet this one who is overall God blessed forever, was made a man. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Scriptures declare a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He identifies with his people. He hungered. He thirsted. He grew tired. He wept. He was a man. Yet he is God. I think it was Scott Richards that said that. He was as much man as if he was never God, and as much God as if he were never man. He's the God-man. And our text declares this. He knew no sin. We can't even begin to enter into what that means, can we? Huh? Listen, no thought of sin. No thought of sin ever entered his mind. We've sat here for 15 minutes, and I guarantee you none of us could say that. No thought of sin. He had no actual sin. He had no sin of birth, no original sin. No sin. He was sinless. Pure. Perfect. Spotless. That lamb without blemish and without spot. Hebrews 4:15, we read this earlier. We have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Who is this him in our text that we read? He's the Savior of sinners. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Still asking the question, who? Here's the third person. Us. Us. The sinner. Us. That's me and you. How do the scriptures describe us? A lot different than we would describe ourselves. Huh? I warn you, most folks don't want to hear the truth about man. In Romans 3, we read, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. I had in my notes, they'll seek after their own pleasure. I changed that to we. Us. We'll seek after our own pleasure. We'll seek after our own comfort, our own glory, our own will. Christ said, you have not the love of God in you. What else does God's word say about man? Well, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans chapter 3. Turn back there with me. Romans chapter 3. Verse 11 of Romans 3. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12 says they're all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. None that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they use deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. His mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. The way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Why is that? How can that be? Well, we don't know God. If a man does not know God, if a man does not know anything about himself, you know, if men truly feared God, as we should, they wouldn't curse him. They wouldn't be so flippant using his name. Wouldn't question him. Wouldn't question his His power, His sovereignty, His will. Wouldn't make jokes about Him. If we truly did, if we truly knew who God was, we'd do one thing. We'd fall at His feet. John said that in Revelation. He said, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet like a dead man. When Isaiah saw Him, he said, I cried, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. God's word declares this about man. That from the... Is there any goodness in us? Oh, surely there's some goodness in us. No, from the sole of the foot, the very bottom of the foot, to the top of the head, there's no soundness in it. Nothing but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The question, who? He, Almighty God, Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and us, the sinner. Question one was a long answer, okay? These next few are a little shorter, all right? Question two, what? What did He do? What did He do? Our text says this, He made Him to be sin for us. Made Him to be sin. Made Him to be something He could never be. Made us to be something we could never be. Made Him to be sin. Our Lord had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He was perfect before the law of God. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He, as our substitute. You young ones know what a substitute is. You go to school one day, and there's somebody up there at the teacher's desk that you've never seen before. And they say, hi, I'm your teacher today. Right? They stand in place of the person who's supposed to be there. That's what a substitute is. Your teacher's the one who's supposed to be in that classroom. But for whatever reason, they're not. So someone's there in their place. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sinner's substitute. He stands in the place of where we deserve to be. Turn back to, we read this earlier from Isaiah, but turn to back to Isaiah 53. What did He do as our substitute? Beginning with verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was, verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was made sin for us. The sin debt, it must be paid. God's justice, it must be satisfied. And He made Him. God the Father made Him. Made the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who knew no sin. He made Him to be sin for us. I can't explain that. Nor would I try. But I can tell you this. It's not up for debate. It's only to be declared. God made the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says this, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He paid the ransom price. He paid the sin debt in full. And no other sacrifice will do. Turn back to Isaiah 53. I should have had you hold your place there. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 53. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. What happened? Almighty God made the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us. My third question. Where did this happen? At Calvary. There on the cross. Our Lord was listening. He was betrayed. He was bound. He was led away. He was denied by Peter. Remember, Peter, I'll never deny you. We could falsely say the same thing. I'll never deny you. He was betrayed, bound, led away, denied by Peter. He was judged by Pilate. He was refused by that crowd. How's that for man's free will? Would you be left to your free will? Would you choose? What'd they say? Give us a Barabbas. Huh? Our Lord was scourged and then mocked. They say this thing of scourging that many didn't even make it past being scourged. They died in the process of being scourged. They never even made it to the cross. It was so cruel and so wicked. They shoved that crown of thorns upon his head, put a robe on him, mocked him. The chief priests and the officers, they saw him and they cried out, crucify him. And they led him to Golgotha's hill, where they did just that, crucified between two thieves. And while he hung there, the soldiers, they parted his raiment. And in the ninth hour, at the time of the evening sacrifice, he hung there. As he hung there dying on the cross, he cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Luther once said as he studied this verse, God forsaken by God. Who can understand that? And when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Where did it happen? On the cross. There at Calvary. Fourth question. When? When did this happen? Well, a lot of people say it happened 2 weeks ago. That was the anniversary of it, right? When 3 days after our Lord was crucified. Some say it was 33 A.D., That's what men say. God's word says this. It happened in eternity past. It happened. He was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. This wasn't a backup plan. This wasn't a backup plan. This is what God had purposed and planned from all eternity. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. And then my last question, and I'll close. The fifth question. Why? Why did he do it? Why did he, Almighty God, why did he make him, the Lord Jesus Christ, sin for us? Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified. How are we justified? Freely. By His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a sin offering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. It's a declaration. He is righteous for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. That He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That He might be just and justifier. Listen, why did, because of sin. By one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Psalm 14, it says the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, any that did seek after God. What was the conclusion? They are all together become filthy. None that doeth good. No, not one. Why did he do it? His love for his people. To save his people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he do it? That he might bring us to himself. 1 Peter 3:18. I'll read it for you. For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Why did he do it? Turn back to our text. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Follow along with me one more time. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might be made the very righteousness of God in him. In him. In him we are, listen, we're sanctified, we're holy, we're righteous, completely and eternally saved. Salvation. Salvation by God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you one more question. Who gets the glory in that? Who gets the glory? Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says this, Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Sean.
Okay, if you would, turn in your hymnal to song number 323 and stand as we sing. More love to thee.
More love to thee.